Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show, midway through the week. And midway through the week occasionally means matinee baseball. A couple of matinee baseball games going on. Four of them, as a matter of fact. Not much of a game, though, with Cincinnati and the Cubs. End of eight. Cincinnati leading at 9-1. Mets leading.
Schwarber, Schwarber did it again, man. Drove in another run.
Mets lead Washington 3-1, well, top of the eighth.
Excuse me, they've got prospects. You've got nothing.
I'll get to the team that has nothing in a moment, as a matter of fact. Milwaukee over Cleveland 4-1, top of the third. And the team who has nothing trails Tampa Bay 3-2, top six in Philly.
I mean, this is how bad you are. Your kid pitches a really great game and loses the game when an American League pitcher hits a home run.
Yeah, it's rough.
I mean, that's bad. You're bad when that happens. You're really bad.
Sadly, though, it was a great crowd considering the Philly situation. What, 26,000, 28,000? That's a good crowd this year.
Yeah, okay, sure. That's sad.
Yes.
That's sad.
I'm not arguing a bit.
Kid's a good pitcher. You'll be fine for them. I think the kid they got going today, Morgan, they'll be fine with him too. I think they'll be fine with him. It's an organization that is just absolutely struggling across the board with so many things. I mean, take, for example, guy that I always thought was a really good prospect in their organization was a kid named Sebastian Valle. Not even in their organization anymore. He's with the Pirates now. And he's catching here in Altoona. Yeah, I don't know. And not only that, he's hitting 282, having a good year, the whole deal. How do you get rid of a guy like that? I mean, how do you lose a guy like that? I mean, that makes no sense. I watched him play at Williamsport. I thought, you know what? He was 18 years old at the time, 17 or 18 playing at the time. Liked him a lot. Was interested in the kind of progress he'd make going up the ladder. He's only 22 years old now. 22 now. And he's hitting 282 now in double A with some power and has a good arm. And he's not in your organization. You're not exactly rich at catcher. They make these kind of mistakes where I find to be baffling on evaluations. And he's one of them.
You mentioned Adam Morgan. Morgan went 4 1/3, 9 hits, 3 runs, all of them earned, struck out 3, walked none, though.
He's a bum.
Hey, you know what I found out in the last 24 hours?
Yeah, let's get to the part that's not going to be good for Phillies fans. So two parts are not going to be good for Phillies fans. Number one, the market for Jonathan Papelbon's drying up. It's drying up dramatically. A lot of people thought that he'd be on the move, and there'd be a lot of suitors for him. He's a closer, so on and so forth. Now that Chapman's probably going to be available, he becomes the closer of choice for everybody. But the market on Jonathan Papelbon is drying up as we speak. That's not good, because that's a guy in a contract you need to move. And they are, you know, and I think now it is maybe less than 50-50 that they'll have the ability to move him. And I think that is something that is, for the Phillies, disconcerting, because I mean, that is a guy that it's an obvious gotta go guy. Because it looked like a month ago, the Blue Jays, Cubs, and Dodgers all are in the Papelbon sweepstakes. And now those three teams feel comfortable enough with their closer, they're not going to actively pursue one. So the ability to trade Jonathan Papelbon before the trading deadline, no. Cole Hamels, David Price becomes a big problem, so does Johnny Cueto. David Price has a contract that ends at the end of this year. If you want to rent him for the final 2 months and make your push, perfect. You want to rent Johnny Cueto, whose contract ends this year, for the final 2 months, go ahead. With Cole Hamels, you have a contract that you would have to then take on board. Problem. Because if you make a trade for him, you're making a long-term commitment to him. With Price and with Cueto, no need. You can go into a sweepstakes and say, you know what? Perfect. We'll plug him into that three spot. I'll tell you, you're the Dodgers. Say they want to go after one of those two guys. You're the Dodgers. You've got Greinke. You've got Kershaw. You plug him into your third spot. You're like, hey, oh, for 2 months, I got my third guy. With Hamels, you have to inherit a contract. Right? And not only that, it's a long-term deal. Okay, with Price and Cueto, you don't inherit contracts. Yeah, whatever you're paying them now, that's it. When they're done, hey, then we'll sit down, we'll make a decision about you later. Actually, a better situation in a lot of ways. Papelbon, now you got teams that feel comfortable with what they have closing. They're not going after a closer. He's going to be a Philly in 2 weeks. He'll still be a Philly. Timing means a lot in these things. The Phillies don't have the time. A lot of things have gone wrong for the Phillies. This is another one where the timing of what's going on, oh, perfect. We, you know, let's face it. In the world of timing, you should be able to move Chase Utley, move Jonathan Papelbon, move Cole Hamels, change the dynamics of the club, maybe even Ryan Howard. Can't move Howard because the contract is so prohibitive. Hey, let's trade a guy with a contract that also includes 18 tons of bricks that are squarely on your shoulders. Okay. Let's trade Jonathan Papelbon. Fabulous. Everybody needs a closer. Oh, what do you mean nobody needs a closer? Let's trade Chase Utley. Heard again for the 1,218th time in his career. I mean, he's the only guy I know whose number actually matches the number of times he's been on the DL. And they can't deal him. He's hurt. And then you got Hamels. He's your best chance of moving somebody, but he also has a heavy contract.
And he might be hurt because he should, like you said yesterday, needs to pass a physical to get traded right. With the way he's pitched right. The last couple outings.
The last two outings. Wait, his next outing is what? Saturday, Sunday? When is it?
It's the weekend.
Friday. Yeah. That would be Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah. Well, it's not Friday is what I meant.
So you sit there and you look at this and you say to yourself, all right, here's a team with some veterans, move them. They can't.
Saturday against the Cubs at Wrigley.
They can't move them. He better have one of the better outings of the year.
You know who I think might go before even maybe Cole Hamels is Ben Revere. Guy's hitting almost 300.
It's irrelevant. Dealing Ben Revere's irrelevant.
You're not going to get the same thing for Revere you would get for Hamels. No question.
You're not going to get any kind of return on Ben Revere. Hamels, you can get multiple return. Utley, you could have received multiple return. Howard, idealistically, you should be able to receive multiple returns. Same thing with Papelbon.
Well, if Revere's smart, he'll grab an easy pass because I think he's going out the turnpike to the other side of the state.
What, you mean with the Pirates?
The Pirates are looking for a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, but he's an outfielder. You gotta remember, this has to balance out with positions, Kevin.
I understand. But they're looking right now at two outfielders, Francoeur and Revere, the Phillies.
Yeah, but they're looking at Francoeur to play first base.
I don't know if Ben Revere can play first base or not.
He can't play first base. This is why, you know, if they try to get Revere, it's as a fourth outfielder because the Pirates foolishly traded Travis Snyder to Baltimore. It was really good as a fourth outfielder for them. Now, they already have Travis Ishikawa, who can play outfield, but right now is playing first base. You already have Sean Rodriguez, Johnny's son. Johnny Rodriguez is the Spikes manager. Sean Rodriguez can play anywhere, first base, third base, outfield, whatever. You've got that. The Pirates are now more in the market. They need another starting pitcher, and they might need another infielder because they've got both Jordy Mercer and Josh Harrison out. And the Pirates are also considering strongly moving Pedro Alvarez. We're going to have Paul Alexander from Root Sports on the show in the next half hour to talk about all this and more. But Ben Revere brings nothing, right? What does he bring? I mean, he hits 300. 300 what?
Well, he's hit 300, has 21 stolen bases this year. Offensively, that's not bad.
And what? How many doubles, triples, extra base hits, like some power numbers? What does he do? Does he, he doesn't do it. Defensively, he's a liability.
Well, I'm not going to. Defensively, he's not stellar, no.
Okay, takes lousy routes and has a mediocre arm. Other than that, I love him out there as a job he does.
Let's see, 102 hits in 345 at-bats, 25 RBIs. He's walked 19 times, struck out 34. Only caught stealing 5 out of 23. Actually, 28, sorry.
You know what? I think we should take our first round pick and deal them to you. All right.
I'm fine with that.
The answer is no.
Let's see.
I've seen Kevin Newman play. Okay, I've seen Kevin Newman play 5 games. He's better than Revere. I saw that's out. I've seen them both play. The kid in single A better than your kid. You know,
13 doubles, 3 triples, 130 total bases for 2015.
130 total bases out of how many hits? 80?
Let's see, 130 90. Total bases out of...
90 hits, 95 hits.
102.
So you have 130 bases on 102 hits?
Yes.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to be with you. We're talking with Paul Alexander, Root Sports, next half hour about the Pirates and where they are. Number two, we're also going to be talking about analytics and football in the next hour, in the 4 o'clock hour. Some great stuff. I sat down today with Bob Shoup. A lot of people were out today. Charles Huff was in, Bob was in. And I sat down with Bob. It was more than an hour, actually. And we went through a lot of different things. And he took me through a PowerPoint presentation, which was fabulous, on some of the analytics that are important to him and a couple of things that are important to Jimmy Haslett as well. Great stuff. Great stuff. Look, you have to evaluate talent. You have to have the ability to put the talent in the right spot. You have to have the ability to put certain defenses out there at certain moments. And look, one of the big things you have to do is you have to give an illusion on defenses as to what you're doing. How often have you heard Jack Ham and I talk on the air about the importance of good false pre-reads? And that's something that's very important, where you make the quarterback come to the line of scrimmage and think you're in one defense when in reality you're in something else. And they've done that very well. And we'll talk about some of the analytics of the past year and the importance, the overall importance. And David Jones of the Patriot News and PennLive.com wrote a really good article today. He wrote one yesterday, too, on Jordan Spieth that I really liked. But wrote a really good article today on something that I've talked about, and I know when we've had James Franklin on the show or when we've had him on the network talk show, I brought up the issue of field position last year. We'll reveal some of those numbers to you as well about the importance of field position in winning and losing. Now, we have not received, been able to get to the, and this should be sponsored. I freely, if I'm talking to the sales staff of Sunbury Broadcasting, we must get to the Kevin Herr memo of the day. Let's see now. Here is what we have. Number one, can Marco Andretti pitch for the Phillies? I don't think we're able to touch that one. Was this that just your way of getting IndyCar in?
Or? That was just, yeah, that was my way of getting IndyCar. I did not put that there.
HBO hiring Bill Simmons to host a weekly show. Could it be mean an NBA, an HBO version of 30 for 30? No. They might end up with some versions of 30 for 30. But remember, HBO has already had Ross Greenberg, a brilliant whose brilliance is documentaries. And they've already had Ross Greenberg and have done things like that. Certainly HBO can do maybe some version of 30 for 30. But Bill Simmons likes to sit down and talk sports. For example, he had his Grantland show on ESPN with Jalen Rose. Voting for the AFC, the ACC champion, Clemson got the most votes. Okay, that story's done. NFL training camps start very soon. Which teams made the best moves this year and which teams have work to do? You can already pick out four playoff teams. You already picked the four divisional winners in the AFC. New England, Indianapolis, Denver, and Pittsburgh. It's not as balanced as people think it happens. You can pick the four AFC winners in the divisions right now.
Over the last 100 years, we've seen a lot of summers come and go. Some hot, some cold, some wet, some dry.
We've even witnessed the summer of love.
But never
the summer of nothing
until now. The summer of nothing at Sunbury Motors Kia. Zero do-it signing, zero security deposit, zero first payment on all 2016 Serenos and 2015 Fortes, Optima Souls, and Cadenzas during our annual Sign It and Drive It sales event.
But that's not all.
We also have 0% APR financing for up to 66 months and up to $1,500 CAMF bonus cash on 2015 Fortes, Forte Coupes, Souls, Optimas, Cadenzas, and Sedonas. With 84 new Kias to choose from, all with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, you'll have nothing but a fatter wallet and good times ahead this summer. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com.
Tax and tax after leasing and low APR financing through KMS and well-qualified customers. See dealer for details.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, where Sunbury Motors, that gutsy company, has taken the additional risk of having Kevin drive a vehicle.
And they've allowed me to drive the test drive vehicle, or one of the three test drive vehicles they have right now, that are Optima Hybrid LX sedans. I'll tell you what, this is a great vehicle. Plenty of room for a mid-size sedan, has a sporty look and feel to it. Plus, you get the bonus of hybrid. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, hybrid's great. I like hybrid. But the only thing is, what happens if something goes wrong with it? It's going to cost me a ton. Well, not if you have 120 months on the warranty on all the hybrid electrical components. And, oh, yeah, by the way, bumper to bumper, 60 months. I mean, you're not going to have to worry about anything. And the best thing about these particular vehicles is everybody qualifies for a discounted price, 22.8 and change for the 2015s, and they only have a couple of them. And there's one 2014 Kia Optima Hybrid LX sedan priced at $21,357, a $7,000 discount. Backup camera is one of the things you'll find in there. It also has fog lights available. You got to check this out. There's a lot of added things in this particular or in these particular Optima hybrids, and a price that's just barely over $20,000. If you're upside down in your vehicle, you could get on the plus side very quickly and maybe not pay as much as you think a month. Check it out at Sunbury Motors, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf is where you find the Kia dealership. Ford Lincoln and Mercury, or Ford Lincoln and Hyundai is available in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury.
All right, very good. You asked a question here. How good was Noel last night? He's very good. I thought he was very good. I mean, all he has to do now is figure out that American League pitchers can't hit. And how many outings until Phillies fans can get excited? Now, do you want this from a realistic Steve Jones opinion?
Well, here's my feeling.
Or you just want to do it yourself.
Okay, let me tell you, as a fan, I think last night's outing was nice. If he has another couple of good outings, I'm going to get a little more excited. But I'm not going to get into he's our new number one, until I see a season worth.
I would say the time for you to get excited about him will be sometime right about now next year. If he is continuing to do what he does, and he's doing it well, you can get excited about him. What do I always talk about in baseball? You get a book, and the book tells you, let's go with a pitcher here. What does he like to throw? What's his out pitch? What kind of control does he have over his fastball, his curve? How well has he developed a third pitch? Which pitch can you wait on? And then it's going to be his job, once they get a book on him, for him then to adjust to how they're approaching him. How they approach him now and in the next five or six starts is going to be one of limited book and some mystery. Once an established book is in place, after four, five, six starts, pattern develops, you're going to have hitters, hey, lay off that pitch, attack that one. Wait till you get to this point in the count, then go after him. It'll then be his job, if he has longevity in the majors, to adjust back. And then now, once you do that, now you have an opportunity to be a really good long-term Major League Baseball pitcher. Long term. Till then, I forgot. I'm the no fun guy on the show.
No, I agree with you. I mean, it's nice to see. It gets fans excited about the Phillies, which there's not been much to get excited about. But I want to see an equivalency of a season worth of good outings before I get excited. So I think your timeline is right on from where I was thinking.
About a year from now. At that point, all the adjustments should be made. And you're constantly making little tweaks and adjustments here and there. But at that point, you establish what your stuff is and that you're good at it. All right, Paul Alexander, Roots Sports, joins us. My old friend, we go back 30 years. Paul, it's just great to hear your voice on the air again.
Steve, how are you, my friend?
Good, doing well. All right, explain to us how a ball that eventually ends up in the seats but never hits the ground as a double and not a home run.
Well, actually, and I'm with the umpires on this one, strangely enough. when a ball hits a surface on the playing field that is below the line of a home run,
okay,
hit the ground, be it anywhere, and then bounces over the wall, it's a double.
And that would
it
be
hit well below the home run mark. It right. hit the padding, which was probably about 3 feet below the home run mark, and then strangely and inexplicably found a way to bounce over the fence. But the contact the ball made was certainly well below the home run line.
And that would be something that would be explained in the first game of the series to Clint Hurdle, correct, when they have the meeting at home plate?
It certainly should have been, or something, you know what, when things don't happen, and I'm sure that's never happened in Kansas City before, so maybe it wasn't explained prior.
It's interesting. Interesting.
But it's really no different if the ball right. hits on the warning track, you know, just inside the foul line on the ground and bounces over the wall. Not a home run.
Okay.
It's a double.
Right, it's double. Okay. But if it bounces off Jose Canseco's head,
then it's a home run because it didn't hit the ground.
That's right.
One of my favorite plays in all of baseball's illustrious history, by the way.
Bob Shoup brought that up to me this morning. Bob says, he says, Canseco, if it hits off Canseco, it's a home run.
Well, as far as I know, Canseco was not in Kansas City last night.
No, he was not. No, he's not.
So that's null and void in that you know, that comparison.
Are the next 3 to 4 weeks a test of the strength of the depth of the Pirates organization?
Steve, let's say the next 9 days, because I think, you know, much like, you know, go back to the 90s and, you know, the Vance Slyke deal and how that propelled the Pirates into, you know, three straight National League Eastern Division titles back in those days. Even go back to, you know, Marlon Byrd and a couple other additions the Pirates have made in the last couple of years.
Right.
The Pirates, I think, and Neil Huntington are aware, with Josh Harrison on the shelf for a little more time, with what we saw, you know, two nights ago from A.J. Burnett, you know, he has been a notorious poor starter in the second half. And all of his 17 seasons in the bigs, I think they need a bat and they need an arm if they want to seriously contend with the St. Louis Cardinals in the Central. And if they're the designated, you know, top wildcard team, if they're going to be a tough out in the postseason, I think they need an additional starter. And they could certainly use another bat.
Yeah, you need to have a power pitcher in the postseason. I think that's been A.J. Burnett's biggest problem in the postseason, not a power pitcher. Power pitchers win in October. Nibblers don't. Breaking ball pitchers
yeah.
don't. It's a fact of life. I mean, the air is different. And, you know, power pitchers can beat tired hitters.
So, and, you know, A.J. certainly deserves a whole lot of credit for putting the Pirates where they are right now. But he has not been a good second-half pitcher his entire career. And certainly, you know, the fastball is now 91. It's not 95.
Yeah.
He's made himself with that curveball. Still a very interesting and dynamic starter. But he's not going to be someone you're going to look to in the postseason. And when he's kind of, I wouldn't say disrespected, treated as he should be treated, he doesn't handle that so well.
Right.
He didn't handle that one a couple of years ago here when it was obvious that Cole was the better alternative even then, you know, for a one-game situation with the Cardinals. So, yeah, I think Neil Huntington, and one thing I think people here in Pittsburgh need to do is realize they're in really good hands with their general manager. This guy has done a great job not just constructing a regular season roster, but his deadline deals have been pretty darn good.
Yeah, no, agreed. Agreed. There's no question they have been. What about the decision to wait till the fifth game after the All-Star break to start Gerrit Cole? To me, I know he pitched an inning, but to me it's the equivalent.
Right.
If a guy is batting .320, for example, I take him from the 7-hole and I move him up to the 2-hole because I might get an extra at-bat every game out of him. If I have Gerrit Cole not pitch Friday, but pitch Saturday,
right,
I might get an extra start from him in late September.
I could not agree more. I think these guys sometimes, somehow, outthink themselves. The common sense and the logical approach to your number one ace is get him as many starts as we can. And if there's anything you see with Garrett Cole, this guy is a horse.
Yes.
You know, you're not worried about innings. You're not worried about overwork. You're worried about making sure you maximize his opportunities as your starter. And they certainly dropped the ball, in my opinion, as you attest to on that. I mean, that doesn't make any sense on any level to me.
Yeah, they go into Kansas City. They had the bases loaded last night with a chance to even win that game. What is it, as you talk to them in the clubhouse, what is it about confidence in late innings that has allowed them to produce in late innings? They just missed last night, but they've had a whole bunch where they didn't miss.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of they know there's 27 outs. They know the back end of their bullpen, if they find a way to get them the ball with the lead, 99% of the time they're going to get out of there with a W.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that they just continue to wear teams down. I don't know what it is. I just think there is a sense of, until we're done, we're not done. And we're going to keep fighting. And unfortunately, one thing that was also, I think, made very apparent last night, they're not the smartest ball club in baseball.
No.
And you can't boot the ball around. You can't run yourself out of runs. You can't take chances like they took. You know, having a guy thrown out at the plate for no apparent reason whatsoever. They have probably lost, I would say, Steve, anywhere from 5 to 10 games this year by simply not being a smart baseball team.
Well, Paul, beyond that, let's expand about something you just mentioned in there. You know, he gets thrown out at the plate. You don't want to make the first out of the inning at the plate or at third, especially right. When you're trying to come back. That's baseball 101. But overall, why have they not been a smarter base-running team? A lot of this comes down to base-running when you watch them play.
It's a matter of their smart players not being equipped with real strong baseball IQs. Starling Marte has all the raw talent. As I try to explain to people, you consider Andrew McCutchen a potential MVP every year, and that's legitimate. When you look at Starling Marte, bigger, stronger, faster, more power, and a much better arm. Those are all facts.
I mean, yet,
there's no way Andrew McCutchen would dispute any of that. But the whole package isn't quite there because he's just not a real tuned-in, every pitch, knowing every situation, knowing the count on every hitter, knowing every place you need to throw the ball in every situation. He's not that guy. He's just a raw talent that hopefully, as time goes on, those instincts will become a little more readily apparent. But right now, it's raw. And a lot of these guys are kind of similar in a way that, you know, things that we knew when we were playing Little League when we were 10 seems a little foreign to them at times. And that's frustrating as heck, but it's the reality. You got to play the talent, and sometimes the talent isn't really the most gifted in terms of knowing the game inside and out. I mean, there's not a lot of coaches' sons out there. You know, we always used to talk about, he plays like a coach's son because he's intuitive. He understands the game. He knows the game. Those aren't the Pirates, unfortunately.
I've always said, as you know, I've always talked about athletes playing football, athletes playing baseball, but then there are certain guys who are football players and certain guys who are baseball players.
Right.
It seems there are some moments that for the Pirates, they have some athletes playing baseball.
Exactly. And things happen so quickly. I mean, you can be lulled to sleep with a low-scoring, well-pitched baseball game where it doesn't appear that anything's going on. Then in an instant, you have to make an unbelievable judgment at the absolute millisecond that it's necessary. Sometimes these guys are just making the wrong one.
Paul, do you know who did the scouting on Jung-Ho Kang? Because obviously we can guess all we want about what his career was like in South Korea. But to make the commitment to spend the money for the right to negotiate with him and then get him obviously means somebody saw something. Who did the scouting on that one?
Yeah, you know what? That's a great question. I am not sure who the point man was there. I know inside and out, Renee does all the Latin American stuff, Blanco stuff. You know, he's famous for identifying, great young players, be it in the Dominican or Puerto Rico or wherever he needs to go to find that talent. The South Korean connection, I'm not sure who that guy is. I don't know, but That was brilliant. And with Harrison, you know, on the shelf right now, and this guy, I mean, granted, 2 years in a row in South Korea, which a lot of people liken to double A over here, he hit 40 home runs two years in a row. So, you know, I think that much was apparent. What people don't know is how good is the pitching over there. Obviously must have been decent because, you know, this guy certainly is major league ready. I don't think there's any question about that.
He's really, really good.
He is. Yeah. I mean, you know what? His baseball IQ, for a guy that's played in South Korea his whole life, far superior to that of many of his teammates.
What do they do with Alvarez? They DH'd him the last two nights in Kansas City, which is absolutely the right move to do.
Absolutely, it is.
Do you move him to an American League team? What can you do with him?
Well, you listen. I think that Neil Huntington, I'm sure, has at least made that obvious that, you know, we are entertaining offers because considering, you know, the Scott Boras situation and the fact that he's probably not going to be someone that you may even want to re-sign, and even if you did, I'm sure the price would be too high. So, yeah, I think that you certainly listen. But unfortunately right now, with his numbers, you know, off as much as they are, you're going to be getting him at a low value as opposed to a high value. But then again, if he's hitting home runs this year, you probably don't want to move him.
Right.
That's a catch-22 in the wrong way.
And the issue is a lot of people think it's easy to play first base. Look at the Yankee infield once they got Mark Teixeira. They went from a mess infield-wise, and then they got Teixeira, and suddenly, wow, look how great the Yankee infield is playing because a really good fielding first baseman can make everybody else in the infield better.
Yeah, even, you know, you go back to Adam LaRoche, who is not a very popular player here.
Right.
Would they love to have him now.
Yeah.
One, you know, he's hitting at a much more consistent level than he did as a Pirate. And defensively, he's one of the tops in the game.
And one of the more underrated Yankees in the last 20 years probably is Tino Martinez. Because of what he did, not only at the plate as a clutch hitter, but as a guy at first base that made everybody better. There are other teams, obviously, within this division they're going to make moves. The Cubs obviously appear primed to do something, and it's not as if David Price doesn't already have a connection within the Cubs organization because he does. You can't do anything about that, but how interesting is it from your seat as you watch it develop to have the Cardinals and the Cubs and the Pirates all in these power spots?
It's amazingly fun because you know what? You might have to go get somebody just because someone else may want them.
Yeah.
Or you may have to protect someone just because you don't want. I mean, where's Cueto going to end up? To me, that's what, you know, when you go within the division and you start looking at, you know, what he would mean in a postseason roster situation, you might have to go get him or try to get him just so the Cardinals or the Cubs don't.
Right. It's a good point.
That's crazy. Where he ends up, to me, if he goes to St. Louis, that division race is over.
Right.
I mean, you just chalk them in as to the National League representative in the World Series again.
Right.
And if my apologies to San Francisco.
Yeah, and if he goes to Houston, you feel better.
absolutely. He doesn't, but yeah, we do.
Yeah. It's a great city. You'll love it down there.
Yeah, it's a little warm this time of year, but yeah, you're really going to like it.
Paul, at some point we'll get into what's going on with the Steelers because training camp's on the horizon. We'll have a blast with that. But it is so great to have you on the show. All this time is the first time we've had you on. You should be on probably with us once a month.
Steve, anytime you call, it will be answered. You know that.
Thank you, my friend. Take good care.
All right, Steve.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself.
Paul Alexander, Roots Sports. Kevin gets bothered by these interviews, like how they end. So what I'll do is...
Why would I be bothered?
I will refer to you as my good friend.
Oh. Okay, I got you now. Thanks.
Okay, we got that out of the way. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.